The Fan on Demand.
Time for Tim and Sid.
It's time for Real Sports Talk with Tim McAuliffe and Sid Sexero.
Thank you very much, Sheepdogs. Although you're a little off, no Sexero. He is still on vacation, probably enjoying a couch somewhere like a champ. Sam Mitchell will join the fray at 2:20. No doubt he'll weigh in on what has transpired in Toronto as Brian Colangelo is no longer the general manager of the Toronto Raptors.
Time for Tim and Sid.
No doubt Smitch will spit some hot fire on that. Then in the final hour, John Shannon, for all of you hockey pucks out there saying, "Where's my hockey?" We'll get to it. Final hour. What we'll get to right now is an in-studio guest. Can we provide a pronunciation on the last name of Michael Grange for any moderator who happens to say your name during a conference call?
Michael Grange?
It's fine. I do like my Indian food, so I did not find that pronunciation bothersome.
No.
Go ahead, some vindaloo. Grange. We just go with the Grange. Got to emphasize the G.
Right.
Because otherwise people go with the range.
All right, here's the deal. We've gone with this for a year, this Michael Grange thing every once in a while.
Maybe that's why you got the idea.
I think the dude, the moderator, is the same dude from a year. Lance, can you play them back to back for Mr. Grange? I believe same dude each time. Here's the first one from about a year ago.
The next question is from Michael Grange from Sportsnet. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay.
The next question is from Michael Grange from Sportsnet.
It's the same guy.
A year later.
It's my guy.
If anyone's listening who knows that guy by any chance, tell him it's Grange.
I'm thinking he might be literally on the other side of the world.
Yeah, he might be.
It's a call center type deal.
I'm
all right with it.
Did it almost sound French, the accent?
Michael Grange?
No. I don't know.
I'm going... I'm going with somewhere farther and cheaper.
I understand. What was your first reaction after the two conference calls today?
I guess my reaction is I don't really know what my first reaction was because it was just like kind of getting hit by waves of stuff.
Right.
And I guess what I would say was I was surprised that he got – that Brian Colangelo got that title and an apparent real hard and fast role going forward with the basketball operation. I was surprised by that. I thought it would be...
Do you believe in it?
I believe he's going to have stuff to do. And I believe I do accept what Tim Lewicki is talking about in terms of a vision and, you know, expanding the footprint and, you know, the training facility relationship with Canada basketball stuff. I mean, it's all kind of, it's not headline grabbing stuff
right.
by any stretch, but it's interesting. And it's the kind of thing where I guess my first instinct would be if this doesn't work, like no one will be surprised.
Right.
Like the only way it'll be deemed a success is if it succeeds.
Right.
In other words, so it's not one of these deals where I can't believe this all didn't work out.
Right.
What a shock, you know, Brian Colangelo clashed with the incoming GM. Like, that's all seemingly inevitable.
Right now, yeah.
So for it to work, it will have to work. I guess that would be my two cents.
What would you say to the fan? And I'm hearing a lot from, you know, Tim and Citizens and fans of the Toronto Raptors that are saying right now, here we go again. Like, this is just another in the long line of colossal upheavals that has been the Toronto Raptors franchise as their brethren from the expansion draft, the Vancouver Grizzlies, are now playing for the right to play in the NBA Finals. What do you say to them?
Well, they're not wrong. and I would say that they're not wrong. I think when we heard way back 6 weeks ago, probably now, that Tim Lewicki was being considered for this job and he was going to come in, and there was a hope and an expectation that his presence alone would make this kind of stuff go away, that right. things would unfold in a very logical, sensible, clean-cut way. And to the extent it hasn't, right now seems kind of weird, but the only way we'll know if it matters is time.
Is Tim Lewicki the hammer here?
On Brian Colangelo?
On Brian Colangelo, on the franchise. Has he just walked in and said, I am Thor, with the sledgehammer over his shoulder or whatever you call that thing?
I think we all want that to be the case, right? Or we want someone like Tim Lewicki to be the case, because I think that's been the perception all along, is that nobody has really been 100% accountable for where any of these teams go
right.
in any meaningful way, and that everything kind of gets muddled at the end. And there's
how you're glossing over that, like people have come to accept that in this area, and they have. Yeah. They have.
Like there's
it's
a sense
awesome.
That, yeah, no, there's a sense that if only, you know, somebody could quickly make a decision, because somebody could just have a wave of insight in a shower and then execute it, things would unfold better. Maybe they would. We don't know. But I think what you do get here is, and what bears watching, is if Tim Lewicki is the guy we all expect him to be, and in theory he expects to be, and he's paid to be,
yeah.
then this really is 100% on him. In other words, the idea that, you know, this is the board holding Tim Lewicki to this is Larry Tannenbaum requiring Lewicki to do Brian Colangelo some kind of favor. I'm not accepting that.
Oh, yeah?
I'm not accepting that.
What about David Stern?
Even if it's true.
What if it's
Stern?
I'm
not accepting it. Well,
there's whispers that Stern is involved in this. Do you believe those whispers?
I don't believe that David Stern is tapping anyone on the shoulder and saying, look, take care of Jerry's kid.
Right.
Jerry's kid, being Brian Colangelo, right. has been taken care of to the tune of about $30 million.
Right.
Right? I mean, he's fine. He got paid double, if not triple, the average rate of a general manager was getting when he was brought here. He's had ample opportunity. I can't imagine David Stern would meddle to that micro extent.
But hold on. His reputation is worth more to him than money, is it not?
Brian Colangelo's?
Yeah.
For sure. But that's not up to Uncle David. That's not his job, man. Come on.
Uncle David.
You know, that can't be right. I think the only ounce, no disrespect to you, but the only little element of that might ring a bit true,
yeah.
and this goes back to my previous point where all this is going to have to be examined over time,
mm-hmm.
is when you listen to Tim Lewicki talk about rebranding the franchise, when you talk about, you know, using the 2016 All-Star Game as a time and place to plant the new Raptors flag, whatever right. it might be at that point, he used the word sand, but I would say in the ground, and tell the whole world that things are different now. Well, they've got to win the 2016 All-Star Game. So they need to be seen
mm-hmm.
By other owners, by the commissioner's office, as a franchise doing business the right way.
Right.
And if doing that, if extending an olive branch to a guy like Brian Colangelo, who you could argue in some ways deserves it, I think it's a small price to pay.
Michael Grange in studio. We may be taking your calls at 2:40 Eastern time, based on how far the conversation goes with Sam Mitchell and whether or not he drops bombs that we'll need to talk about, because Sam just might do that in our next segment. To be fair to those who were whispering the David Stern thing, Lewicki did say at the start of his conference call that he was at the league head offices and that David Stern likes to take credit for everything that Lewicki has ever accomplished in his life. So it did lend credence to some of those people who were whispering that. I am conveying, I am a traffic cop.
Yeah, no,
I'm not insulted by the no answer to that, and I'm not insulted by those who put that forward. Is Masai Ujiri the favorite to replace
Colangelo? I'm not going to give him favorite. I think, and I think in some ways with Brian being kept on, if you're Tim Lewicki, do you really want to bring in a general manager who owes a big portion of his career to Brian Colangelo, who owes a big portion of his career, and to Larry Tannenbaum? Like, do you not want to have someone that owes something to you?
Right.
And that's one thing. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes in a different direction and brings in somebody who's new to the organization in every face.
Do you have a thought process on that name?
Well,
is it a Kevin Pritt? Like,
I mean, the guys that are out there are the guys that are out there. I've not been told anyone different. Kevin Pritchard, his track record's pretty good. Now, exactly why he got bounced out of Portland is one of those, you know, the Raptors aren't the only place where things go sideways and no one really knows why.
Right.
And the other guy's Troy Weaver. He's got that Oklahoma City sheen to him.
Right.
That's an easy sell right now. On and on. So I think Masai Ujiri is a good candidate for a lot of reasons. But let's face it, the guy's been a GM for 4 years and he's done some great stuff. He's very well liked, but he took a team that was a 53 win team and now they're a 57 win team. And he deserves credit for doing that, but it wasn't like he picked a franchise up off the mat.
Michael Grange in studio filling in for the eyebrows of Sid Sixera. Okay, there's a couple different ways that I want to go there. I find it funny that Pritchard could be in the mix when he got LaMarcus Aldridge out of that draft that was Andrea Bargnani for Brian Colangelo. And I wonder if in the end, Andrea Bargnani cost Brian Colangelo his job.
I was tweeting about that this morning. And, Brian Colangelo made his own bed.
Yep.
We could do 3 hours on things he could have, should have done different.
The Marion Turkoglu.
I mean, it's a long list.
Jermaine O'Neal.
My only point, I can defend Brian Colangelo in a lot of different ways. I do have a lot of time and respect for the man. But the one thing that sticks out to me is if Andrea Bargnani was a player, like if he was Pau Gasol, if he was some version of Dirk Nowitzki, if he was a guy who wanted to be one of the best players in the NBA,
right,
everything would be different. And I think if you look at all the GMs that people admire, all the franchises that people admire that we're all envious of, the story is not that they don't make mistakes. It's that their wins, their successes are so big that they paper over a lot of mistakes and they also beget a lot of good stuff. It's kind of like, it's a weird analogy, but it's like playing left field beside Devon White.
Right.
Like Joe Carter. Yeah. Well, I guess he was a right fielder. Or Candy Maldonado. We're going back. But you know what I'm getting at? Like if you're, the amount of ground you have to cover is reduced by half because the guy you're playing beside,
you look good.
You can be pretty good.
It's so funny because I was thinking about this as a long-term conversation that I wasn't going to bring up here, but maybe down the road in the summer when we got nothing else to talk about. The success of franchises often dictated by their star player being a dude that is like the dude that you described. If Tim Duncan is not in San Antonio and David Robinson wasn't there to help mentor Tim Duncan, does the whole history of the San Antonio Spurs change?
100%.
Do the guys like R.C. Buford and Greg Popovich who gained their career off that change? If Michael Jordan wasn't obsessive compulsive about winning, does, you know, Jerry Reinsdorf and all those Phil Jackson, do they have completely different
it's a player's reputations? League. It's a player's league. Now, that's not to say that all those names you've talked about, all those teams you've talked about, there was ample opportunity by any of those guys to screw things up.
Right?
I mean,
change things.
The San Antonio Spurs deserve a ton of credit because they were gifted.
Right.
I'm not going to say the best player in the NBA because he's probably not, but in my opinion, the best franchise player in NBA history.
Yeah.
Right? Arguably, in the modern history, right? A guy who landed in your lap, all he ever did was play hard, play well, make people around him
better,
and support his coach and his management and every without drawing much attention to himself in a tiny market. Like, I mean, it's an amazing story.
Yeah.
But if Tim Duncan is Greg Popovich made him better.
Right.
But if Tim Duncan's not there, is Tony Parker one of the best guards in the NBA
right now?
Or is he just a guy who just bounced around four teams and never quite got it done?
We got to go, but it's the same thing. The next hot team to steal people from is the OKC Thunder. They got Kevin Durant, who's another one of those.
Could have been Greg Oden.
And yeah, and just donated $1 million to the Oklahoma tornado victims, which is an amazing story we'll get to, but we got to wrap up. Sam Mitchell is next. You never know what he'll say, so you want to stick around for that. This is Tim, no Sid, but with a Michael. Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Score Television Network.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now more of Tim and Sid on the Score and Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
The notorious T.I.M. along with the notorious M.I.K.E. on what would have been Biggie's 41st birthday.
Just a pop.
We pour a little out for our homie Biggie. In my mind, the greatest MC of all time. For those who listen to hip hop, go ahead, tweet me. I don't mind. as I divert, the Raptors and Brian Colangelo do not get one more chance at this. He is now the president. The job that he was hired to do, he no longer has on his business card. Here to help us break it down is the lovely and talented Sam Mitchell. Sam, how are you today, sir?
Man, what do you mean introducing me as the person to break it down? You live there. I don't live in Toronto anymore. It's not for me to break down what's going on with Brian Colangelo. I tell you guys this all the time. I was a Raptors coach a long time ago, and so
it's a golden era. This song.
I have moved on. You guys have to live with this. I don't. I cover all the NBA teams, not just one.
Sam, to quote my homies in Scarborough, what on? You worked with this franchise. You worked hand in hand with these guys. I haven't. Thus, I lean on your expertise.
Okay.
Are we paying, Sam?
What is it that you're asking me to break down? What is it to break down that
did the Raptors make the look? Did the Raptors make the right call?
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
What general manager is going to come there, and Brian Colangelo is still there in any capacity, and close to the people in the organization, the people who make the decision? What general manager is going to feel comfortable with him still seeing, being there every day, talking to people? You know, it's going to be impossible for him to separate himself from any basketball decision made, even though he's not making the decision. But it's going to be impossible for him not to walk down the hallway and say something about something. I mean, are you telling me that he's going to sit there and never open his mouth about anything that the new GM does, or especially if something doesn't work? I mean, it's just, at the end of the day, I would feel uncomfortable. Would you feel uncomfortable? That's the question.
Listen, Sam, you already broke it down. Yeah, see? You come on here and act like you're not going to break it down. You already broke it down.
Well, dude, it's not for break down. It's common sense. I mean, it's common sense that if I walked in the door as a general manager, the guy who was president and general manager, I mean, who's my boss? Is Brian Colangelo president of basketball? So if he's president of basketball, then theoretically, he's my boss, but yet he's not going to have any final say-so in my decisions. Do I have to consult with him about my decisions? I mean, it's a lot of things that got to be answered before you bring in a top-notch general manager to work under those circumstances.
What if that guy was a guy that you spent time in the franchise with in Masai Ujiri?
Well, I know Masai, and he's very good at what he does. But my question from the side, he used to work for Brian. So is that going to make him feel uncomfortable? Is he always going to be looking over his shoulder? Is he going to be second-guessing himself? Because the thing about it, man, you cannot do your job looking over your shoulder. You got to make decisions based on what you think is right, given the information, given imperfect information. When you're picking players, you're getting imperfect information, and you got to make decisions that's going to affect the long-term health of a franchise, and you can't do that looking over your shoulders, wondering or guessing if you're being second-guessed by the guy that you used to work for.
Sam, it's your good friend Michael Grange here. How are you?
What's up, Michael?
Listen, the way this is all played out, on one hand, does it make the Raptors look good because they're taking care of their own and it's an organization that actually seems to care a little bit about some people? Or does it make them look like fools because they can't properly make a decision? And so I'm asking you on behalf of, like, around the league, 29 other teams, other GMs, scouts, director of player personnel who might be looking at a job here. Do they go, wow, that's an organization that tries to get it right? Or is this an organization that can't make up their mind?
Michael, you answer the question. You follow this stuff. You name one general manager that's going to want to work under the circumstances that the former general manager is still president over basketball. Even though, again, it's been said that Brian would not have this, he would not make the final decision. Is he going to be involved in that decision making? There's a lot of things that are left out for the imagination that we as the public don't know. And it's going to come down to define roles. And then you can define roles all you want to, Michael. Is it going to stop people from crossing that line or rolling their eyes or giving a sigh when a decision is made, especially if the decision doesn't work out? So you ask yourself, could you work under those conditions?
For the right amount of money, the answer would be yes, Sam.
Yeah, anybody will do it for the money, but can you be good at what you're doing? You know, at the end of the day, you make the money. But at the end of the day, any job that you take, Michael, you want to be good at it, man. You want to be successful. You know, the money doesn't feel the same when you get ran out of town or you get fired because you didn't do the job that you were hired to do. We all take jobs wanting to be successful, not jobs for the money. You know, I tell people this all the time. Man, when you take a head coaching job, when you get raked over the coals, you don't go home and look at your bank account and say, it's worth it. You go home and you say, am I doing the job that I was hired to do? It's not always about the money. It's about having pride in what you do.
2007 NBA Coach of the Year Sam Mitchell joining us on Tim and Sid with Michael Grange stepping in for Sid Sixero. Based on your knowledge of BC, do you think he can accept that role?
What do you think? I think it's impossible for any person who loves, who's been in basketball, to sit on the sideline and never open their mouth and say anything. I just think it's just asking a lot of anyone to do that. So you're saying that you're going to ask Brian Colangelo to sit there and just not have any, because he's done this before. And to a certain degree, he's been successful at it. He was executive of the year in Phoenix. He was executive of the year I won coach of the year. So you're talking about a guy who's had success as being a general manager. And now you're going to say to him, you sit over there, you worry about these things, but don't ever, ever concern yourself about the things that you were once good at and twice in your career better than anyone else in the league.
Well, I guess to me the problem is going to be is it creates a situation where automatically there's an automatic second-guess mechanism built in.
Exactly.
And yeah. You know, I think the person who's going to be GM, whoever it might be, they may well have that final shot, but the issue becomes if ownership is relying on Brian as a way to kind of interpret basketball situations, or if Tim Lewicki is relying on Brian as a way to vet whatever the new GM might be bringing to him, automatically you're almost guaranteeing some kind of friction. And I think that's going to be
unless
the challenge.
Unless it's sorted out before the dude even comes.
I think
that's what I'm saying, guys. Yeah. It's hard. I mean, if you're Brian and you're sitting there with Tim, and obviously over time they're going to develop a relationship. And Tim, how easy is it for Tim to say, what do you think about that decision? I mean, it's just, instead of going downstairs talking to that general manager, at times it's going to just be too difficult for guys to do that. I tell you guys, one thing that bothers me in the state of Georgia, these landscapers, man, with these blow things. I swear to God, man, they need to pick up a broom sometimes. Jesus Christ. Following me.
Well, Sam, let me put it to you this way, though, right? I mean, you see this on coaching staff sometimes, a little bit less in basketball, but definitely in baseball, for example, where the manager will get hired. But there's a coach hired, and he'll get to pick two or three guys on his staff. But sometimes there's a holdover guy, you know, who was, and he, it would be obvious that the person who's held over from the previous coaching staff has a certain loyalty to management, and you kind of go, well, why is he here to work for the new coach? Is he actually kind of there to sit in meetings on behalf of the GM? I mean, does that kind of dynamic, have you experienced that in the NBA? Does it always fail? Does it sometimes work?
I don't think it works, man, because if you're walking in the door and it's a holdover guy, what are you thinking? I mean, it just, you know, Michael, whether it's imaginary or not, in your mind, you're always going to feel like that guy's going to be second-guessing you.
I mean, not to name names, but you had Jay Triano on your staff, right? And he was a holdover guy. Were you able to work with him, or was it a problem?
I was able to work with him, but, Mike, look how that turned out. Jay Triano, when I got fired, was the coach. Right. So you start thinking, when you look back on it, you start thinking, what's this the plan? And if I'm the general manager coming in, am I thinking that because Brian Colangelo is here, if I make a couple of bad decisions, how easy will it be for Tim Lawicki to turn to Brian and say, you know what, you know, you've seen this, hey, you've had experience doing it, I'm going to turn it back over to you. In your mind, whether that's going to happen or not, no one knows. But in your mind, it's always going to be there.
Sam Mitchell joining us here on Tim. I got to ask you before I let you go. If Dwayne Casey remains, will he coach drastically different without Brian Colangelo around in your mind?
Probably. It just depends on, and again, guys, I wasn't there. I don't know the meetings that occurred between Brian and Dwayne. I do know when I was there in my meetings with Brian, there was times where, you know, suggestions was made to me about doing certain things. And sometimes I agreed with it. Sometimes I didn't. You know, you're not going to agree or necessarily disagree with every decision or every suggestion that's given to you. But I think that you're probably going to see some things different because, again, you know, all coaches should be like, and again, it's a fine line you walk. You want suggestions. People think as a coach, you don't want anybody to give you any suggestions. Man, I ask for suggestions. I ask for people who knew basketball. The more people who knew basketball, I would pick their brains. But at the end of the day, when I made a decision, good or bad, let me make that final decision because that's what you hired me for. I don't mind soliciting information and suggestions, but let me make the final call. Don't have the final call dictated to me.
Did you get that?
Sometimes, yeah, you got it, right?
Now, Sam, real quick. Whoever does come into this job, I mean, the question is going to be, do they tear down what's here already, or do you kind of commit to providing at least some continuity with the core of people you do have? You've been in that experience with in Indiana. I know when you played, you look at what the Pacers are doing now. Where do you fall on the need for talent versus sometimes you just got to allow continuity to have its own course?
Well, ask yourself about that continuity. If that continuity can win. So if you believe that continuity can win, then you just try to add to it. If you don't believe the mental and the physical makeup of the continuity that you have that can win, and we're not talking about winning games. We're not talking about getting beat in the first round and going home. We're talking about trying to put yourself in a position to win a championship. So if you believe you don't have that physical and mental makeup, then you got to allow this guy to make changes, which if he makes changes, now you're kind of starting all over. But if he's going to try to piece together based on what you have, look, if you're not going to let the guy come in and put his blueprint on it and put his thumbprint on it and do what he thinks is right, then you should keep Brian. Because if you're gonna build off of what you have now, then you might as well keep Brian Colangelo because Brian Colangelo put this together. But if you hire someone totally different, if you're saying this wasn't good enough, then you got to let a guy come in and try to do what he thinks is good enough to win the championship.
Jay Rocca writes in, Sam, on Twitter, haha, great to hear Sam Mitchell back on the show to break it all down. I echo his sentiments, sir.
Well, you guys stop being so cheap and stop letting me go. Then I wouldn't have to leave you guys, break up with you guys as often as I do.
I thought they were slapping you $1,000 bills in the face, so I thought it back off.
No, they were throwing more coin. They were throwing pennies at you.
It was a toonie show. All right, Sam, let's do it again soon, and we'll talk about the other teams, all right?
All right, guys.
All right, there is Sam Mitchell, always entertaining. Joey Crawford writes in, not a big – hopefully a different Joe. Oh, it's Jody Crawford, not Joey Crawford, because that would be awesome. Not a big basketball guy, but I love it when Sam Mitchell is on the show. I think a lot of people feel that way. We'll talk about what he said next. It's Tim and Sid with Michael Grange in studio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Score Television Network.
Now more of Tim and Sid on the Score and Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, coast to coast in the Score Television Network. Sixero's still on vacation. Michael Grange, perfect day to have this young fella in here. As the Raptors shed the label of GM for Brian Colangelo, he is now the president, if you are to believe what we were told today. But Sam Mitchell saw it a different way.
What a shock.
Yes, the overseer is how Sam Mitchell put it.
Well, I think Sam does, like he put it in a very easy to understand way as to, I think he just put into words exactly what everyone kind of thinks.
Right.
How is it possible that a new guy can come in and have the freedom of mind to be bold and reshaping this basketball operation when the guy who shaped it is right there on the payroll? And Tim Lewicki, I think he made very clear in his conference call, when I've talked to him independent of that, he's determined and believes that he can, there's a process that can be put in place that will allow the new guy to have that kind of freedom and accountability, but that'll remain to be seen.
We're going to take a couple calls. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cellular device. If you happen to have a question about what happened today in Toronto that we might be able to offer some expertise and or opinion on, feel free to call in 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell phone. I tried to put this to Sam, and I'm not sure that he understood it, because sometimes our strengths are oftentimes our weaknesses, and Sam's opinion is, while his strength, oftentimes his weakness.
Better
as
talker
well.
Than listener? Maybe.
maybe. But how about dialogue and communication being a key to whoever comes in and works with Brian Colangelo and Tim Lewicki or Lywicki? I don't know what the hell to call him, but
100%. And I think really what's going to make this work or not is if the team gets better one way or the other. Does it get better because they win the draft lottery tonight and they get a great player? Does it get better because DeMar DeRozan takes some great leap? But if the team excels, then it fixes almost everything. If the team doesn't, and whatever move, bold or otherwise, gets made by the new guy doesn't work, it's going to be the same bad word show that it's always been, you know, and winning will fix it. Losing won't.
How MLSE, that's so MLSE that Brian Colangelo is representing the team at the draft lottery. And that
it'll be so MLSE if he wins the draft tonight.
Right.
And then another, like,
and they pick a big euro.
Horrible draft.
Okay, here's the number. After the 4-19 start, they went 30-29. They were 18-18 with Rudy Gay in the lineup. Let's be honest though, they won what, 7 of 8 to close out the season to make that 18-18 with Rudy Gay in the lineup. Those were meaningless games. Rudy Gay shot 42% with the Raptors, worst since his rookie year. If you take the entire season, it was his worst year ever shooting. The question you pose is, if they're good, all this goes away. Are they going to be good?
And I liked a point that Sam made, and it was kind of a point that I had made myself, which is maybe why I liked it, but but you've gone, you're a long way down this road. I would say the minute you traded for Rudy Gay, you were setting yourself in a certain direction. And I'm not saying that the thing to do isn't just keep what you got. Continuity is the way. The only way this team is going to get better anytime soon is to stay together. Now, mm-hmm. I don't know what the ceiling is, but when you look at the Indiana Pacers, I think they've got, if you go through their top 8 guys minus Danny Granger, they got 75 games out of all of them the last 2 years in a row.
Right.
The Memphis Grizzlies, the 4 of their 5 starters have played 91% of the possible games for the same coach the last 4 years. And I think each of those teams, pretty good teams.
Yeah.
If you were to break them down and just throw the names on the table in front of us, I don't think anyone would assemble them and think, oh, wow, those are Final Four teams.
Right.
Right. So there's got to be something to continuity, at least giving the opportunity to get the best out of what you do have. And I think that's going to be the real balancing act going forward from whoever gets this job.
Michael Grange in studio. He will do so for the next about 10 minutes. Let's take a call, and I hope I get this right. Valen from London. Valen, is that correct, sir?
Yeah. Hey, guys. Love your show.
Appreciate it.
I just have a couple of comments in regards to Brian Colangelo.
Okay.
And he hasn't done much since he arrived, and all these small patches that he tried to do, giving Landry Fields a contract to block New York Knicks from getting Steve Nash and getting Turkoglu, which backfired completely, getting Jermaine O'Neal, which ended up being a disaster. Everything he has done while he was in Toronto, he just tried to patch the team instead of rebuilding, as he was saying from the beginning.
Well, but to be fair, though, the one thing, thanks, Valen, for the call, the one thing that I will say is Jonas Valanciunas was a far-seeing pick. It wasn't a short-sighted, this is a patchwork, because he could have done that with the team in a time when you could argue that if he had have taken, I don't know, the Kemba Walker of the draft, it would have helped him a lot more in the near side. And the one thing I will say is a lot of those things that he gets crushed for, the Hedo, the Marion, the O'Neal, were all really one move and then trying to fix that move. But it all stemmed from one move. But Valen's not wrong.
No, I can't disagree. I mean, the one thing I do kind of give myself a little credit for was I think you go back and look, they played the Oklahoma City Thunder, I think. And I think the Thunder at the time were like 3-22, and they had just fired PJ Carlissimo and hired Scott Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's either that, it was on that trip, it was either that game or against San Antonio, that Jermaine O'Neal basically quit.
Like, right.
He basically walked off the floor, and he was never going to compete for the Raptors again, and never really did. And at that moment, that was the time, in my mind, the plug should have been pulled. And I think that was sort of, and instead of trying to pull that plug, they were trying to patch that hole ever since.
Right.
And that literally, I think, 4 years later, 5 years later, leads to where you are today.
It all comes full circle. Brian Colangelo, a Cornell man. Cornell from Mississauga joining us here on Tim and Sid. How you doing, Cornell?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Very good. What say you?
What'd you say?
Said, what say you?
I got a quick question. You guys even think Brian should even be in the organization after the 7-8 years he's been here? With the new GM coming in, I don't think it's right. I don't think it's right at all.
Did you hear Sam Mitchell on the show, Cornell?
Yeah, I heard him.
I mean, yeah. I would agree with you. Like, I think they could have found a way. I mean, look, you're fired. And I don't think you can argue that there's not a strong case to fire Brian Colangelo.
Like, yeah.
He had ample opportunity here. Didn't get done for a million different reasons. Doesn't mean he's a bad person or a bad GM. Just didn't work out. So fire him. And for whatever reason, it's been determined not to fire him. So I think charitably, you've got to give the people making that decision the benefit of the doubt and give the people in that situation, Colangelo in particular, Lewicki in particular, benefit of the doubt. But if it all doesn't work, like I said earlier, nobody's going to be shocked.
The one thing that, while I agree with Cornell, the one thing I will say, and I'm always playing devil's advocate, but they waited too long to make this decision. And by that, they screwed Colangelo moving forward to find a little bit of another job.
I think I think you're a nice radio host.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't think so. I don't think they did. I think this is the big boy league, and you're accountable for what you do. They didn't owe him anything.
Well, no. But I don't think they owe him anything. I think that the rest of the league is looking at this franchise and saying, hold on a second. Really? You're going to leave this guy hung out to dry until when?
Yeah, I see what you mean, but I don't agree. Okay. I don't think he really was hung out to dry. I don't know if there was a landslide of job offers. I'm sure if he was being approached by teams he wanted to work for, he could have picked up the phone and said, look, they want to talk to me. In fact, that team would have had to go through the organization to talk to him. So I think it's a bit of a red herring. I think the one thing they did owe him is a respect, because one of Colangelo's great attributes is that he came here willingly and has stayed here passionately. And I think that, given the number of people who kind of running out of, in and out of Toronto and never want to look back, I think that deserves some kind of credit.
Yeah.
But you know, you can do that by picking up his option and then fire him. You know, you don't have to.
Right.
You don't have to go to this extent.
My last question to you, I guess, will be: what will the new guy bring that Brian Colangelo wasn't the representative of when he was hired in 2006?
Honestly, Tim, nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Just change.
The people, the Brian Colangelo came here in 2006. You could not have had a more qualified candidate.
Yeah.
You could not have had a guy who arguably did a better job in the first year to 2 years in the job. So I think from that point of view, I don't see there's any magic to this. And the challenge is going to be, you've got Tim Lewicki very loudly, very publicly saying this is about winning championships. And who is going to look him in the eye and look the board in the eye and say, this is the way to win a championship?
Yeah. There's a lot of money being thrown around here, isn't there?
I think maybe between being wasted. Between Lewicki, Colangelo, Stefanski, whoever they hire,
yeah,
you're probably talking 10, 12 million bucks. Mm-hmm. On a team that won 33 games.
That doesn't happen with the league. Oh, wait. Poulin, Loisel.
I don't know if they were getting paid that much.
No, but you throw them all together, and there's a lot of money being spent to right the ship at MLSE, and no one's been able to do it. And I can't believe I've done air quotations twice in the last 2 minutes, but I did. Make it three. As always, appreciate you coming in. Oh, Adrian Wojnarowski, breaking news. As why don't you do it, since you remembered it?
Adrian Wojnarowski? I don't even know how to say it. I just call him Woj.
Yeah.
Clippers have fired Vinny Del Negro. So that would probably be the plum coaching job in the NBA right now.
Yep.
That is a team you can win with.
So if you throw out names immediately off the top of your head, Stan Van Gundy, Jeff Van Gundy, Any Van Gundy.
Phil Jackson.
Would that not be the ultimate stab in the back? I've been told
very, very clearly that he does not want to coach. He simply does not want to coach.
They got his chair, though, at the Staples Center.
But, like, man,
that would drop the... I'm not even going to say it's a stab in the back, because there's been blows from both sides, but that would be a drop of the glove to his wife's brother.
That's, I mean...
Woo!
You talk about David Stern. David Stern's on the phone right now. Make that happen.
That's juice.
They're going to play on Christmas Day.
They're playing Christmas Day if that happens. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
There is Michael Grange stepping in. Read all of his stuff. Follow him at Michael Grange on Twitter. He's a friend of ours. Please be a friend to him. When we come back, John Shannon, we're talking hockey on Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And coast to coast, sea to shining sea on The Score.